Tell me when you're ready to come in for a landing, because I'm going to wait till that happens.
I'm ready.
You ready? Just going to stay right there. Yes, you're going to stay right there. Okay. You're not going to move, right? Okay. Got him now. Don't think of something and then get up and leave. You got to stay right there. Okay. Anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjitaha nirbanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagya uchate. This is Rupa Goswami's verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that's describing the principle of renunciation, or detachment, rather, the principle of detachment. Because householders are supposed to be detached too. You have a challenge, as sannyasis have a challenge. Your challenge is to have things and not be attached. And the sannyasi's challenge is to not have things and not be attached. Take your pick. Take your challenge. This challenge or that challenge. But the way to to not have attachment to things starts with recognizing who is the proprietor of those things. And if there's no proprietor, at least it's an option that you can make it yours. But if you know who is the proprietor, it's not an option. So now we recognize the house and paraphernalia in the house, and you know the people living in the house, my wife, my husband, my child, they're not mine either. We say, my house, my wife, my husband, my child. But who is the real proprietor? Krishna is the real proprietor. Okay, so Krishna is the real proprietor. And then I start living in the house, living with my wife and my husband and my child, and I start forgetting Krishna and thinking in terms of my house and my wife and my husband and my child, or the child and my mother and my father. And certainly there's a relationship, but the relationship is an impermanent one. And with all things that are impermanent, there's a utilization of those things, and the utilization of those things is service to Krishna, because they've come from Krishna, so they can be used in service to Krishna. So the material paradigm is how things can be utilized for my own happiness. The Sanskrit word is vishaya. It's commonly translated as sense gratification. Senses, sense object, enjoy the sense objects. Vishaya. So the verse is, anasaktasya vishayan. So anasaktasya means without attachment to sense gratification. We know this word asakti from the stages of bhakti. It's one of the nine stages of bhakti. It comes after taste and it comes before bhava and prema. It's where there's attachment. First is attachment to the activities of devotion, and then the object of the activities of devotion. Attachment to Krishna. Asakti. This is the opposite. Anasakti. Anasaktasya vishayan. Without attachment to sense gratification. Yatarham upayunjitaha. And that's a very interesting term. I was trying to get my little tablet to cooperate, and I'm not a teenager, I don't know how to use the thing. But it's so to get the exact word for word, the word translation. Yatarham upayunjitaha. It means, to my best of my memory, it means according to suitability. What's that? According to suitability. Each one of us has, in order to be peaceful, we have our sense of what we need. Actually, we don't need. But we have our sense of what we need. You know, it's the perceived sense of what we need. And a lot of that perceived sense of what we need has a lot to do with our habits. And it has also a lot to do with however much we're attached or not attached to sat, we're attached or detached from, correspondingly, asat. So according to suitability. In other words, someone, let's take the example, Prabhupada tells us example in Krishnanagar. Krishnanagar is a place very near the Mayapur temple, Krishnanagar. So there was a king of Krishnanagar around the turn of the 1900s, the 20th century. So the king was very, very, very pleased with the teacher, the brahmana who was teaching his son, the prince. He was so much pleased that he went to visit the home of the brahmana, the son's teacher. He was well reputed, but the king was so busy doing king things, he never even got to meet the teacher. So he went to meet the teacher. And he came with the spirit of, I want to show my respect and regard and my appreciation for all that you've done to teach my son. You're doing a fantastic job. So he went to see the brahmana who was his son's teacher, and he was shocked to see the, quote, poor condition in which he was living. So the king said, I'm amazed and shocked. I'd like to build a nice place for you so you can be comfortable. You're living practically in poverty. And the Brahmin was shocked at the king's words. He said, I'm not poor. I have everything that I need. I have my little house, and in the backyard we have a tamarind tree, and we have a cow, and my wife gathers some rice, and she puts some tamarind in the rice, and some milk and some rice, and we have a little house, and I have everything I need. Thank you. You don't need to build me anything. I'm fine. And Prabhupada's comment was, to the king it looked impoverished or poor or distressed, but for the brahmana he was very satisfied because it took care of his needs. When there's inner satisfaction, the sense of need is diminished. And the converse is also true. When there's an absence of inner satisfaction, one looks for satisfaction outside. And even popular singers, they know sense gratification doesn't bring satisfaction. There's a famous song from rock music. Anyway, can't get no satisfaction. Da, da, da. So, so with sense gratification, there isn't satisfaction, so I'm always dissatisfied, and whatever I have, it's not enough, so I want more. That's the nature of material, seeking material pleasure. So, yatarham upanyunditaha means that although I don't take things for sense pleasure, I accept those things as far as necessary. So the converse is, those things that I don't need, I don't accumulate things. I don't gather things and hanker to make things mine. So this message is very, very bad for the consumer economics model. Very bad. Where's Jamuna Jivana? What's his name, that last year's Chinese student that was majoring in economics?
Russell.
So when Russell came to understand what the message of Krishna consciousness was, he said, you know, this is really, you're not supportive of the consumer economics model, I can tell. So, you know, this probably won't be very popular in China. And not so popular in the world either. But, you know, that's since time immemorial. It's not just a Kali Yuga phenomena. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, very, very rare is it that people will seek knowledge of the self. Why? Because they're distracted by pursuing happiness outside of themselves. And of those who have achieved knowledge of the self, hardly one knows Krishna. Because besides seeking knowledge of the self, there's the Supreme Self, and this awful word of surrender or submission to the Supreme Self. Yikes. Those of us, especially in the West, that we highly covet our freedom, our independence, very independent spirited folks over here, and you've come to join us, those of you that have come from other parts of the world, independent spirited folks, and who wants to give up their independence and surrender to anybody? What to speak of in this dark place of the material, surrender to God, my God. So devotees are rare, but those who are devotees need to understand this principle of utilization of things in Krishna's service according to suitability. So, you know, simplicity is very nice. Living simply is an opportunity to not have to, you know, have cluttered things here and there and maintain them and whatever. And instead, dedicate one's internal consciousness and external activities to activities of devotion. But those things that are around that I accept, it's not with the purpose of bringing the senses to those sense objects and enjoying the sense objects, but it's utilizing that something in service to Krishna. Yuktam vairagya uchate. That's the principle. So just in a little phrase, that's commonly what's utilized to describe what Lord Chaitanya's teaching is. Yukta vairagya. Utilization of things in service to Krishna. Sometimes it's forgotten. Without attachment to enjoying the objects and the activities, the sensual experience of those things. Senses contacting sense objects. According to what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, senses contacting sense objects in the expectation of enjoying that contact is the birthplace of misery. It's an interesting concept. I mean, it happens all the time, but here's the concept. It's like a child. We're like, you know, little children, medium-sized children, or big children with the same principle. There's the object. There's the anticipation of enjoyment. So the senses reach for the object and one gets misery. Yehi samsparsha cha bhoga dukkha yonaya evate. Dukkha is the opposite of enjoyment. It's misery. Dukkha yonaya evate. It's the birthplace of misery. Thoughtful persons, we had this nice discussion in our Saturday afternoon class with the young people that are coming to the temple. Jimuna Jivana conducts a little discussion group. So one of the visitors there was asking, you know, I know it's like that, but I do it anyways. And I know that the way to check it is intelligence. But sometimes my intelligence just, like, goes to sleep or something, and my mind says, yeah, but, and all these interesting things, and I, yeah, you're right, and do it. And that's not, you know, that's just honesty, because we all do the same thing in our own little private way. You know, no one's watching, who will know, and or whatever our thoughts are, and it's innocent. It's not a big deal. It's just a little. Just a little one. And then afterwards, I didn't fall dead or anything. I didn't writhe in pain. It wasn't so bad. And maybe another one. And then maybe another one. And then it becomes a habit. And then it becomes an addiction. It becomes, So the regulations of bhakti and the restrictions are purposeful. They're to help us strengthen our intelligence and act in the quality of goodness. And in the quality of goodness, the purpose of things isn't the mode of passion. It's that which is going to elevate and purify and sanctify. And that's so the mode of goodness purpose, utilizing things, helps us get closer to transcendence. The bhakti principle is the best principle. Because then, even those things we do come in contact with, where there is some tendency to be the enjoyer of the object, whether it's a thing or a person, and be the enjoyer of that person, they're my friend, or I love them because, they satisfy me, or something like that. And then if they don't satisfy me, then, we have some issues. Anyway, to go beyond that platform into the platform of moving towards transcendence, to see things in relation to Krishna and utilize things in relation to Krishna. That's Rupa Goswami's teachings about a householder buying a house and moving into the house and having some ritual so that, for what purpose? Not just remove obstacles for the prosperity of our family, as religious people likely are think of Griha Pravesha as for, but for the devotees, it's so that the spiritual purposes of doing this and any of the other things in life, the commitment, the conscious establishment of that purpose is put in the front, the very beginning of the commencement of the activity, the utilization of the house, and whatever are the other activities that we do. And another verse, this one is a Bhaktivinoda Thakur verse. It comes from the Sharanagati songs to teach people the principles of surrender, Sharanagati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes the Padma Purana verse that describes the six principles of surrender, and he wrote six sets of songs. Some are five, some are seven, some are eight, some are nine songs under each one of those six principles of surrender. And the first of those, this is a little overview of his songs, Sharanagati. The first set is the principle of humility, because without humility, how can you go forward spiritually? So in the beginning parts of those songs on humility, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes or sings about his worldly life, his being born in an aristocratic family and growing up with good education and so many nice things and living a good life, as they say. And as the songs continue, he recognizes that the real sense of happiness never happened. And then he starts lamenting that here I am at the last stages of my life, and my mind is bewildered, and my intelligence is weak, and my senses are weakened and not effective, and it's like, it's too late. I'm at the tail end of my life and I wasted my life. How unfortunate I am. And he calls out to Krishna in humility of surrender. Then the next section is surrender, or Atmanivedana. Because In the list from Padma Purana, it's number 6. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his songs, he places it number 2. After recognizing the mistakes that I've made and feeling very humbled by those mistakes and foolish utilization of my time and life, let me now surrender. So one of those songs of surrender is a very appropriate one for this occasion. Manasa Deha Geha. Yokichumor Geha is his home. He speaks in this way: my mind, my body, my home, my family, my possessions, anything that has the adjective my before it is no longer mine. It's now yours. And that which is yours should be utilized in your service. And then he goes, and that's very one song. At the end he says, and all my cares and worries, I also place them at your feet. You'll take care of them. My taxes and my bills, you take care of them. Not like he'll write the check. It means that, you know, I'm doing those things now on your account, in your service. So, you know, for example, you who have jobs and receive some income from the jobs that you have, you take the check that's written in your name and you put it in your bank account. But your consciousness is, Krishna is the one who's given the ability to do what I'm doing, and the intelligence and the capacity and the health and the, you know, the car to get from here to work and back and whatever it is. So, although the check is written in my name, it belongs to Krishna, and I put it in the account. It's got my name on it, but it belongs to Krishna. And now I'm going to start sitting down and paying my monthly bills, the electric bill and the telephone bill and the car payment and the insurance bill and the mortgage. And these are all in my name. If I go to the place where the registry of deed is, and it's going to say my name. But I know it's got my name on it, but I'm just the manager and Krishna is the proprietor, and I'm paying Krishna's mortgage payment and Krishna's electric bill. And it's as the ability, so also the result of the activity belongs to Krishna. It's just practical. You can just do it mechanically, but you can do it consciously besides mechanically. And this is, it's on Krishna's account. And then there's some surplus or some discretionary something. Now, how am I to utilize that? I'm to utilize that in service to Krishna somehow. And whatever that somehow is, the consciousness behind the somehow is I use it in Krishna's service. And then the entanglement of material attachment, the asakti to Vishaya, disappears. Because it's so that's the detachment from, this is the attachment to Krishna part. By attachment to Krishna, everything is utilized in service to Him and not otherwise. The otherwise is, you know, well, what's the harm of a little bit used for, you know, something that doesn't have anything to do with service to Krishna? What's the harm? What's a little bit? I'll just share this little anecdotal thing and end. It's on the topic of a little bit. What's the harm? A little bit. When I was growing up as a small boy, our family moved from one place to another place. I don't know what the reason was, because I just, like, we're moving, and that was it. That's all I know. It's in second grade. Everybody wasn't told, we're going to move because of such and such. So we went from one place to another place. And the new place where we went, my family was part of a Protestant church, a Presbyterian church. So they contacted the new place and, you know, wanted to meet the minister of the church. So he came to our home to greet us. And it was nice. If, you know, it's a nice principle when somebody comes to the neighborhood and, you know, we may not know them, but, you know, we'd like to make them feel welcome. So our, someone from the temple or some officer or something can go and visit that family. So he did that. He came. And my parents, you know, as in Vedic culture, there's three things that you're supposed to do minimal. When a guest comes to your house, Prabhupada taught us this, you offer them a place to sit, you offer them some kind words, and you offer them some refreshment. Those three things. And householders should know that. And, you know, in temples, Prabhupada wanted us to do the same thing. So, you know, some prasadam to have for people. So, you know, the Charanamrita and a number of temples, a little Mahaprasadam place. So in any case, they came, and my parents, you know, with the American culture, was gave him a place to sit and some, you know, some words of exchange, and then offered him something to drink. So would you like some water? Would you like some juice? Or would you like some coffee? Would you like some wine? And he said, wine. And I was like in second grade, and, you know, my brothers and sisters were looking at him, and finally one of my older sisters says, is it okay for a priest to drink wine? And his answer was, in moderation. I was in second grade, and I just like turned the guy off. I said, it, you know, this is nonsense. I didn't say it, I was thinking. In moderation. And supposing you say in moderation, then in moderation I can associate with another man's wife. In moderation. I thought that in second grade, you know. And some, like 10 years passed, and they ran the guy out of town because he was associating in moderation with other men's wives. You know, because one thing leads to the next thing. So, is that okay? It's not okay. Certainly not from the platform of the follower. Those who are cultivating, sincerely and seriously cultivating bhakti, it's the dedication of things to service to Krishna. And in that act of dedication, bhakti is strengthened, and detachment from the sense of becoming the enjoyer of objects disappears, or at least diminishes. In the beginning it diminishes, and ultimately just disappears to the degree strength of bhakti grows. So similarly with, you know, it, notionally it's nice. Okay, we've had a nice ceremony to dedicate the house to service to Krishna. And then comes the day-to-day life. And in part what happens is we take things for granted and we just do things in routine and forget, you know, the devotion to Krishna part. And then it becomes, you know, worldly. Or it becomes complacency. Spiritual complacency leads to worldly consciousness. And all the unpleasantries that come with worldly consciousness. So instead, we want to nurture and sustain and support and progressively develop our Krishna consciousness. So progressively, the consciousness of Krishna remains in the front of all of our dealings with one another as family members and our friends and our devotee community and, you know, and so forth. So it's a nice beginning. Move into a new house and dedicate it to Krishna service, and then continue that commitment consciously in the various ways one can do that, especially with sadhana bhakti, carefully maintaining and upholding our practices of sadhana bhakti, and being vigilant on the external side of where the senses may wish to wander and stray and contemplate in the mind, you know, the enjoyment opportunities that may be there in a material way, in a forgetful of Krishna way. But gatherings like this is very nice. devotees come together to remember Krishna. That's a very nice activity. Hare Krishna. Oh, any discussion on any of this? So let's have, you want to sing?
Oh.
Oh no. You want to play Mridanga?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let you play Mridanga. Just, yes. Juna Jiva. Give the homage to your sister.
Dedication of one's house and the associated paraphernalia of household life to Krishna. My experience, it seems like unless there's a sense of internal drive or it's a mood of service to give Krishna consciousness to others, as opposed to just be Krishna conscious. Ourselves to us, keep Krishna conscious to ourselves and to others. If that drive is not there, then it's very easy to fall into meditation.
Well, I turned the button back on again. This is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Please understand it in that way. It's the difference between my own effort and receiving Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because there's protection in mercy. Besides, it feels better. It's protection from illusion, from Maya. Same situation, but when dedicating that to reaching out, being an instrument of Lord Chaitanya's mission and his message and his compassion, one becomes a recipient of his mercy. Not at the expense of sadhana and, you know, my own watering the root of and the creeper of bhakti, but and what comes from that is it's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Same activity with and without is a world of difference. So I'm just supporting what you're saying and giving an explanation. What is that factor? Okay. Yeah.
Like the bad habits. When I'm sitting here listening to you, I realize like I use the computer too much at home, so that's like a really bad habit for me. So when I go home, like now I'm thinking like when I go home I should like limit myself. But then like when I go home I get back into that circle. I just go back to those bad habits. What?
This question is the same question as that young man was asking on Sunday afternoon at 2:45 about, and what he was like very specific. He said, I think what it requires is intelligence. But somehow my intelligence just like goes to sleep. And my mind takes over. And I find all these little clever things. Or I just go ahead and, you know, without even having to get convinced by the mind, it's nice or good or okay. Just do it when it becomes habit. So that's at the habit stage. There's a stage where you're looking for the brake pedal, you can't find it, you keep going. That was recorded, right? So you're gonna put it up somewhere and so that people can download it and listen. That recording, are you with me, Shravan?
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to make an arrangement for that to be recorded, uploaded somewhere? So go and listen to that discussion. Because then another person asked in a different language, another person asked, and it was very similar discussion on the same topic. So there's a number of things that one can do. Yes. Strengthening determination. When I consider. Here's one that wasn't in that discussion. It ultimately comes to bhakti. In In the sixth canto, chapter 1, there's a discussion about Maharishi Parikshit wants to know what can prevent people from having to suffer. You know, the context is the hellish plants were discussed at the end of Canto 5, beginning of Canto 6. What can be done to help people prevent the reactions to sinful deeds? So this isn't like sinful deeds, it's just like time-wasting, mind-dulling, dumb stuff that is counterproductive to elevation. It drags one down, not just that activity. My goodness, I mean, the flight, where was it? Yeah, to come to St. Louis. I had an early flight because it was particularly inexpensive, so I don't know why. A flight to St. Louis was more expensive than the flight to Detroit to St. Louis. So I went to Detroit to St. Louis. And then from Detroit, it was spring break. So there were a lot of students. The airport was packed. A lot of students from University of Michigan and Michigan State. And there was a student sitting next to me. And, you know, now you can use these little things. As long as it's in airplane mode, you keep it on. The entire time, from the time he sat down, take off, in flight and in landing, he was doing one of those little games where there's these little doodads and you press this and press that and the doodads move around the screen. And this is a college, you know, graduate student. Just, you know, dumb activity. He's hooked. Addicted. I can, you know, anyway. Once I was flying, another time I was flying, and when the fellow was like sitting there doing the thing, and that the pilot came over and said, "Who's winning?" The guy looked up, smiled, and went right back. Just didn't even answer. Just like, so it's addictive, even for people who's, you know, have capacity for something far more valuable, even from a material point of view. So it's inebriating. It's like, you know, it's like drinking or something. It's inebriating. It's brain dulling. So then one can understand that. So there's the karmakanda, gyanakanda. So Shukadev Goswami says, if one cultivates knowledge, then you can check tendency. But knowledge isn't sufficient. Because you know, it's not sufficient. You're still, you know, wasting time. So now what? So the solution then is bhakti. That's a very important principle. So how do I exercise the bhakti principle when I see that? So now you're going to go home. And maybe, you know, for tonight, you won't, like, you know, sit in front of the computer and waste time. And then tomorrow night, and then, you know. So take something that's going to be devotional and choose the devotional. This is intelligence, discriminating between this and that. And then exercise your intelligence intelligently and choose this instead of that. Choose something devotional. I know a devotee that used to, he nearly lost his job because he was wasting time at work, just like, you know, it wasn't awful things, but just looking up news and, you know, reading and stuff and stuff. So his employer, you know, got very angry with him for that. It was like he nearly lost his job. So he's learned to replace, you know, just going to where Prabhupada's books are and reading instead of, you know, cruising and whatever they call it, you know, surfing or whatever they call it. You know, searching, web searching or something. Do something that's devotional. Even using the thorn to remove the thorn example. Do something that's directly devotional. Or, you know, grab your bead bag and chant the next round instead. Just don't do that. When your consciousness becomes dulled, you don't even know that you're doing it. You just do it because it's like habit. That's the addicted stage. And then you try to do without the addiction, and then I'm missing something. You know, that my internet time or whatever it is that you do on the computer. And so listen to that other section because it gives some other advice.
Speaking about, you know, even like we let go a little bit, you know, let our senses enjoy a little bit, and then it's just a slippery slope and you go down.
Yeah.
So, you know, in today's world, there's so much technology. There, you know, there's just, it bombards us. You know, there's so many options available.
I'm well aware.
Yeah. So, you know, like, if you want to get a phone, you know, there's...
So many.
Yeah, and you can, you know, so you can get a phone or you can check your email. But then, so there's always this, you know, for my service, do I really need to be that well connected, or do I just need a simple phone, for example? So it requires honesty, as well as seeking guidance to make those decisions of, you know, what is a need versus what is a want.
Where are we going?
I'm expressing that it seems to be very challenging. I was requesting for some guidance on how to be very honest about our needs versus our wants.
Come to Gita Nagari. We're going to be discussing this in like 12 different parts. Not just me, but you know, all the speakers. And I can think of, because I've become now familiar with the topics and their abstracts to match the topics, and we're going to send that around so people can, you know, get energized a little bit in what the topics are even before they get there. Jai Jagannath's topic is going to be one that's on, you know, on this. The theme is acceptance and progress. So his is self-honesty. So, but it's not self-honesty, okay, that's where I'm at, and que sera, sera. It's, and then from that, I can be progressive. It's just like this question. That's a self-honesty acknowledgement. As opposed to I just do it and I'm just oblivious that I'm doing it and I'm numb. The message is similar to, if you recall, the four parts series that I presented during the Vyasa Puja weekend about Sambandhagyan as foundational. So, similar. You and she and any of us will not be able to win that struggle against the material energy, because the material energy is more powerful than our little ability. Without the proper spiritual conceptions, the foundational part, this is the self-honesty thing. So spiritual conception, here's where I'm at, and these are things I need to do. So then the bhakti principle can enable us to go beyond the shortcoming or the struggle. And living a life of simplicity is a good beginning. It's the mode of goodness helps one enter into the house of bhakti, or the mood of bhakti. Something that I learned, of course, it's easier for me as a sannyasi as opposed to a householder. But on the other hand, people always want to get me things. You know, so I have, you know, not only one thing, but you get another one, you get another one, you get, oh, but that, you know, so I don't have that desire, but they have. So, something that I learned is, before getting something, like I had this experience where I didn't want to have a computer. That was some time ago. And so I did correspondence by dictating into a microcassette machine, and somebody took the microcassette and typed the thing, and then they printed it out, and I read it and edited it, and then it got sent out. But I didn't want to have a computer, because I knew get devoured by that thing. And it's just like an innocent little device, just what you get. So, when it came to getting computers, I just wanted a real simple one. I got a real simple one. But then I realized there are things, you know, so I thought, this is the rule. Think before, going forward with something, keep it simple. And if you think it's something that could be useful and not unnecessarily distracting, let it sit for a while. If it's really useful, it'll come back again. And then you can feel whether it's, have something that's, no, I don't need it. It's just, the other kids have one, so I want to get one too, kind of, fashion. If it is actually useful for your service, it won't go away. And then connect the service mood if it's actually beneficial. And then when you have it, get a quality one, and that's it. And just use it for your service. Keeps it simple. So there's so many gadgets on this phone that I don't know what they are, and I don't want to know what they are. I certainly don't want to do that one. I know it's got plenty of them. I have to find out what an app means. I'm still not sure I know what it means. But if it's not useful for service, then it's, and then if it is useful for service, it's the same principle that, yatarhan upayunjitaha, as far as is according to suitability, is Prabhupada's translation. If it's suitable for service, then okay. But I let you think about it, 5 or 6 or 10 times. That's what happened with this phone. I had a phone that I regularly used for a long time. And I can't even remember. It broke. And so then I was using another one. And then, anyway. So I just turned it over to Satyajit Sar and said, you figure it out. I don't want one of these bells and whistles phone. I just want something that, it's basic, that maybe can do more than just a phone can do. It's helpful to be able to text people. So maybe that's a facility that I could use. Anyway, but I'm not absorbed in it. Unfortunately, people don't know my number very, so they don't call me very often. It's not distracting, but it's useful. So I'm just elaborating a little bit, but it's, ask your husband on the way back about the presentation at WashU on affluenza and the statistical analysis shows the opposite of what we would expect. When people have more opportunities due to affluence, they have more choices, the happiness standard decreases. Have more choices, your happiness standard decreases, and they have different reasons why it's so. So keep things simple. That's our brahminical life, our Vaishnava life. If you need something, think about it 10 times before you go ahead and you have one, just get one, that's all you need, and get the quality one, and just use it in service, period. Keep it simple. and spare energy, time, and, you know, intellectual capacity goes to devotional cultivation. Listen to recorded lectures more when you set up, when you go to the internet. Just do that. Cool. Okay, we're going to end and have a little kirtan before prasadam. Is that okay?